Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and good morning, ladies, as we continue, obviously, to do this over the phone. How are we?
Yeah.
I'm good. How are you, too?
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, I'm still wearing my pandemic sweatpants, the same pair, so...
Oh, you are? The very same pair that you posted about a couple of weeks ago?
I am. So I've worn the one single pair of sweatpants every day, 5 days a week, with a wash on Saturday for almost 3 months now. Just because I think it's funny. That's it. That's the only reason.
That's great. You just reminded me of, there's a, you know, of course, you guys probably have too, have been spending a lot of time on social media, and there's, you know, all these different memes all related to the pandemic. And you just reminded me of one I saw the other day where it's a cartoon of a husband and a wife grocery shopping in a grocery store in their underwear, and they're getting a strange look from another customer, and the explanation is, well, we've been ordering online from home so far, we just forgot to get dressed.
nice. Well, that a little different, but yes, one of the other memes is that one, Carol, that you sent me with Clint Eastwood that is still my favorite so far. The one where basically it says, when a pandemic strikes, but you realize it hasn't changed that much about how you go about your life. Yeah, so...
Huh. Well, I think a couple things have changed. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about is I was thinking, I can remember our first show that we did post-lockdown that we did remotely. Because I remember where I was, and I was pacing around my living room. We were all talking. It was all very new, and we were, you know, kind of scared, but very optimistic and all this stuff. And it that feels like a million years ago.
And it was.
And in the weeks that have ensued, I mean, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, like, I think we all have had ups and downs, moments of, oh, this totally sucks, to we can get through this, to, oh, it's going to make us better, to, no, it still sucks, to, you know, the various other iterations. And I noticed, so something happened last week, unrelated to anything. And I said to myself, I think this pandemic is turning me into a mean person. And you guys know I'm not a mean person.
No.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Carol, was that sarcastic?
No, I don't think so.
It's nice being on the phone, though, because you didn't see me duck.
You know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing Carol on the phone, on her end of the phone, like, nodding her head yes while she's saying, no!
I would never, ever consider you a mean person. You are one of the kindest, most generous people I know. And when you do rant on Facebook, I would say 9 times out of 10, you make a valid point, and you're being intentionally dramatic and funny, typically, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Although I had a genuinely mean moment, and I'm going to share it just to get it off my chest, because I did lose sleep over it for a little bit. But then again, but now I'm back to not losing sleep over it. So anyway, so here's how I think this pandemic has the ability to change personalities, because, I mean, let's face it, no matter how optimistic we are, it's changed the course of our lives, and it's stressful. I don't care who you are, for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And so the other day, the other week, my office has been running, and, you know, I have a full staff full of people, and I have a parking lot that is a private parking lot, and it is marked as marked can be, with big, giant yellow signs, private, 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 and, you know, now we have too many people here versus the number of spaces, so it's crowded enough as it is. Okay, fine, but we deal with that. That's not the issue. So I come walking out of my office to leave,
And I was the first one leaving that day, but it was right before, you know, normal quitting time. And there's a car in my parking lot completely blocking the entrance and the exit.
No.
With a flat tire. Now, yes. Yeah, so at first blush, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I thought too. I'm like, somebody just pulled in here and left their jalopy blocking the entrance, you know, and nobody even left it. Well, it turns out, so there's a, I'm going to call him a young kid, but he wasn't a kid. He must have been a young adult. Let's go with low 20s, you know, maybe 21, 22, 23, in that neighborhood.
Your age.
Well, you know, just a little younger.
Okay, okay.
Than, you know, most of my boyfriends. So he's got this flat tire, and he comes from around the car, and he, you know, has some sort of tool in his hand, and I guess he's going to try to fix his tire. So I say to him, and probably not in my nicest tone, I say, you know, oh, no, sorry, kid, you can't do that here. You see, you know, these dozen cars, we're all going to be needing sleeves, and you are preventing that from happening. So you're going to have to move your car onto the street 10 feet from where it is and fix your tire there. I mean, I don't know why you would not have done that to begin with. That part was in my head. So now I figure this person is simply going to say to me, oh boy, my bad, real sorry, let me just slowly pull out and I'll get out of your way. But guess what he said instead?
Uh-oh.
This is going to be bad.
Let's just say it wasn't, oh, I'm sorry, you bet I'm going to get right out of your way. What he said to me was words to the effect of, you know, sorry, lady, but can't you see I have a flat tire? So I say to him, I see you have a flat tire, and I'm going to repeat myself that you need to fix your flat tire, not in this parking lot blocking my entrance and my exit. Well, this guy proceeded to, the only saving grace is he kept calling me miss, but it was always, after the miss, it was always some snarky, snot, ridiculous comment, like, well, what do you expect me to do? And how do you expect me to change my tire on the street? And I can't be expected to, and if I drive my car to the street 10 feet away, it's going to cost me $350. And he just starts going on and on and on and on and on. Meanwhile, I'm standing there on my property, like, with this look on my face. So I say to him now, I said, you better check your attitude and then get in your car for the third time and get out of my parking lot. So now I'm getting really hot under the collar. So now the kid goes, all right. I'm gonna move my car over here, pointing to another area of my parking lot where he believed he was going to be out of the way. And I said, no, you're not. Because when you change your tire in my parking lot and the car falls on your head, I am not getting sued. Get off my property before I call the cops. And then he snapped at me, and I snapped at him, and then he snapped, and I snapped, and he snapped, and I finally won. Off you go. Off with your head. But then I said to myself, I was so upset, because here's why I was upset. Under normal circumstances, if his attitude hadn't been awful right out of the gate, I would have tried to, is there something I can do? Is there something, you know, maybe I can get one of the guys to come out and help you. But because he came at me with this attitude, like I owed him the area of my parking lot so that he could change his tire when 12 people, and by this time everybody had come out because it was time to go home. Everybody listened to me scream with this kid in the parking lot. And then so he finally did what I told him to do. He, you know, inched out into the road and, you know, called friends, changed his tire. But I was at once incensed, and then when I got home, I felt awful. I felt like I wanted to call the kid and apologize. What is up with that?
Well, I think tensions are high, and sometimes that causes even the most calm person to react in ways that are uncharacteristic, one. Number two, you were very clear without being mean or rude. Maybe you were a little sharp in the beginning. I don't know. But it was how he responded that caused the escalation.
Yeah.
Had his initial response been to you, I completely get it, I understand, I'm concerned about changing it in the road, I don't want to get hit, I don't want to get a ticket, can I have 5 minutes, whatever. Had he responded in a different way, it would have ended completely differently. So you are not fully responsible for that.
Right, and I completely agree with Carol there. It's his initial response, and like Carol just said, and as we know, we are all living with a short fuse right now. I mean, you guys know the story I told you yesterday, and we don't have to go into it, but, you know, I found myself snapping and turning into a madman unexpectedly because of this particular situation in the middle of a road, and that's where I am, and that's not me. I'm usually a pretty calm guy. I mean, yes, I mean, you know, I may MF a lot, but that's really just therapy, but we're on edge and we're ready to snap. So that's what got you going. You know, that was the end. That was your short straw right there.
He would have been a dead man had he called me ma'am. That was the only reason why I let him live.
Silver lining. He called you miss.
Exactly.
Miss.
And he doesn't even realize how that saved his life.
No, he does not. And it really did.
In case you know, if he had a blog, that would be such a great title.
I called her Miss.
Yeah, exactly. I called her Miss, and I still breathe.
And it saved my life. But you know what the other thing that got me thinking? It got me thinking that just, and, you know, I'm not imparting how, I guess entitled is the word I'm looking for, that this kid, I keep calling him kid, but remember, young man, wasn't like he was a teenager, was. And that my overreaction or mean response to me is a result of being under the pressure and the stress of things outside of my control, like this pandemic. Whereas his attitude, in my opinion, was something that he has all the time, this, I can do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. You know, I don't want my problem to end up costing me money. My problem should end up, putting you out. And that was the real sense. And as our argument was going on, and this is that calculation is going on in my brain while I'm trying to get him out of the way of a dozen people who want to get home to their families, and the idiot is blocking the entrance. Like, that's another thing. If you're going to get a flat tire and trespass clearly on a lot with cars in it that says don't trespass or you will be killed, don't keep your car in the middle of the only means of exit, of egress and ingress. Like, why would you do that? And then give the owner of the property an attitude. Come on.
Yeah,
that is one thing that is certainly missing from way too many these days is the concept of being referential. You know what I mean? Of just showing a little bit of respect. And, I'm sure that, you know, part of him was hoping that somebody, you'd walk out and the first thing you'd say would be, oh, my God, can I give you a hand? Because, you know, we need to get you moved so people can get out of the lot. But no, you know, he went the wrong direction, and then the whole thing blew up.
I have an idea.
What's
oh,
that?
Tell me. You have security cameras all around your property.
Yep.
Get this guy's plate. You know a guy. You know a guy. You can look it up. let's find the kid, right? And let's get him on the show and have him tell his side of the story.
he's going to realize that life he saved might be over if he's got three. If he's got the two of you ganging up on him.
Well, funny enough, in a couple of weeks we have a conflict resolution expert coming up on our show. So maybe we'll have him on that show.
That would be a perfect show to have him on. You know what else I could do? I could get the security coverage because you're going to see me waving my arms like a pterodactyl in heat, yelling at this kid. That's what you're going to see. And then you're going to see him holding like a jack or a, what do you call it, a lug nut wrench in his hand the entire time. I mean, to his credit, you know, he never waved it at me. and I was squawking at him like a big bird. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to look for that footage.
A pterodactyl in heat. Oh, my
God. That is an image. That is certainly an image. Thanks for giving us that one there, Jonas Spilbore. Now, of course, we all have to see this video now. You realize you do have to go through the footage. This is like something, you know, when we're finally able to get together and hang out. This is for that summer party.
Yeah.
You know, you play this on the back deck.
Yep. On a loop.
Yeah.
I can put it in the lobby of my office when people are waiting to see me and it's just on the closed circuit TV.
Okay, watch. Here's the part where I tell them to go F themselves. Watch. Here comes.
Oh, God. I feel better about it now.
Well, good. I think you should. You should. Hey, by the way, who are we talking to today? You know what? I completely forget because my brain's all a jumble these days.
Yeah, well, everybody's brain is a little jumbled. So, okay, so you guys know, and our listeners have probably also figured out by now that we've been kind of focusing the last few weeks on experts and authors who can assist us as we begin to emerge out of this lockdown. I mean, you know, I think there are people who might be shifting the way they do business or wanting to get a whole new business altogether or just feeling the stress of the situation and trying to figure out how do we go back to the way it was or better. And so this week is no different. Who we're going to be talking to when we come back from the break is an author. He's not just an author. He's like an author. He's a PR expert. He's a playwright. He's a jack of all trades. His name is Anthony Mora, and he is the author of a book called The Alchemy of Success, Marketing Your Company and Career Through the Power of the Media for Achieving Unlimited Success. And I thought he'd be able to discuss with us this nice little niche area where people can kind of just retool the way they do things to get publicity, gain more clients, gain more wealth, and all that good stuff. So when we come back, Anthony Mora will be on the line with us.
All right. That sounds good. You are listening to Happy Hour here with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we've got segment number two with that guest that Jonna just told you of on the way. So please stick with us.
This is 92.9 WBPM. Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it's time to get to our guest today, and we've got Anthony Mora.
Yes. Hi, Anthony. Anthony, I'm going to let our listeners know a little bit about you because you have a very interesting and mixed background. But for our listeners, Anthony Mora is the founder of Anthony Mora Communications, which is a very well-known PR agency, and as a public relations and media expert, Anthony has been featured in a number of media outlets, including the New York Times, the LA Times, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, and BBC. You've got knowledge in a ton of fields, including health, beauty, law, a little near and dear to my heart, publishing, near and dear to Carol's heart, film, entertainment, technology, and business. And we're going to talk to you today about your previous book called The Alchemy of Success, which, if I can also tell our listeners, is a step-by-step book on how to define goals and utilize the power of the media to achieve unlimited success. And what I find really interesting, Anthony, about The Alchemy of Success is this was something you wrote way before the current state of affairs in this lockdown and pandemic. Yet, I think it's fascinating that something you wrote 20 years ago is now having renewed relevance in this crazy time. So, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. And you're right. I mean, I couldn't have imagined when I wrote that book.
No.
Or its follow-up, which was Spin to Win, what we're going through now. But you're right. The you know, the tools that were outlined then are you know, as valuable or maybe more valuable now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so let's sort of take it from the top, because you're obviously a public relations expert. And even before this pandemic, I think, you know, if you believe that perception is reality, branding and PR can make or break somebody. And I'm not just talking about, you don't have to be a famous person to have a PR person in your corner, but people who are entrepreneurs, people who are building businesses, people who have products that they want to get out in the marketplace, you know, people who want to be known to the people who are going to buy their stuff, I think can really benefit. And you have to be smart and innovative in that way. And now more than ever, I think it can be useful to people who are sitting at home going, wow, do I ever want to do this again? And if I'm stuck in another pandemic, what would I do differently to market myself and make money? So let's talk to that person. Like, what are some tips that you could give the person in that position?
Sure. And you're completely right. Whether we like it or we don't like it, perception does become reality. And how we're perceived is how we're viewed. And what I tell everybody is that now, which is funny, again, going back to when I wrote the book, that wasn't as much the case. It was still the case. But now everyone is in the media. If you're on Facebook, right, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, you're in the media. You are developing a brand, whether you want to be or not. And you're much better served if you understand that and you work to control the brand and develop it in a way that you want to be perceived, as opposed to letting others control it for you. Because you have the ability to define who you are. If you don't, you will still be defined, but it won't be because of what you're doing. So right now, it was interestingly, where I learned an awful lot was in 2008, 2009. Because when the Great Recession hit, I've had the company for over 30 years. We've been around for a while. And, you know, I thought we were pretty well prepared for everything. Well, that was a wake-up call. I have shifted the business quite a bit based on what I learned in that experience, which is now a lot of what I focus on in working with clients is, before I was a much more general PR firm. We represented authors, we represented healthcare, we represented attorneys. Now my main focus is our primary website is PR for writers. And our focus is very singular and very much on writers and filmmakers. And I used to be afraid of drilling down that deep and thinking, well, look at what I'm leaving on the table. But it's been an amazing journey. And by representing writers, I'm still representing lawyers and doctors and fiction writers. So it's still a big umbrella, but it's much more focused. And that's one thing I would really stress on people to look at is there a way to drill down, go deep instead of wide? Who is your target market? Who is your main market? And focus on them.
I completely agree with that. And I think that is a classic mistake many people make, is that, well, no, I don't want to narrow it because I want to reach more people. And I have come to learn otherwise from personal experience. I've written a couple of books, one of which is called Happy Bitch, and it's a book about happiness for women.
I love it.
Now, all of the principles in there are universal, honestly, to men and women. But I knew from exactly the point that you are making that I wanted to target my market. So all of my colors, my graphics, my language patterns, everything, and all my thought patterns are all focused towards reaching
that market, that woman who wants to be happy. And I think you're 100% right that you do a better job and can grow your business, most businesses, I think, better by drilling down and being niche and being specific rather than trying to serve everybody.
Yeah, yeah, and it's scary because it really felt counterintuitive to me when I did it.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, you know, I can, you know, represent this person and this person and this person. And with me, it was, what is my main interest? Because I also write. I write plays and novels, so it's writing is near and dear, you know, to me. So it's something I'm passionate about. And it's an area I know well. So that, you know, that really was laying the groundwork for where I should go. But it took a bit of a jar for me to realize that, you know, and to drill down. And sometimes it's separate markets. And that's fine, but still look at each market as its own market. Because in PR, the one thing that I am not a big fan at all of press releases. I mean, they have their function, they have their place. But if it's a new business, a new writer, a new filmmaker, press releases are seldom going to do you much good. It's a one-size-fits-all pitch. And
no, it's funny.
Go ahead.
I wanted to jump in. It's funny you should say that because I think I used to write press releases for a living back in another life, pre-law, and they were all the rage when you were trying to market a company or market yourself or whatever. And recently, I came across somebody else in a similar industry, and on this person's website, they had a big warning: "Do not send me press release." And I just thought that was really odd. And I don't know why it was on there, but I do think press releases are kind of the dead horse, because nowadays, like you mentioned before, Anthony, I think the way you control your message is largely what you do on social media and maybe other forms of advertising. Am I right?
Well, that's really important. But mainly what I'm talking about is if you're going to the media, if you send a press release, that you're sending that one press release to everyone. Women's-oriented media, men's-oriented media, pop culture, business, whatever it is. So that press release has to be all things to all people. Well, it can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before I was on this side of the fence, I was a journalist and the editor of a couple of magazines. And when I got press releases, I would quickly scan. If I didn't know, if it wasn't a celebrity name, if it wasn't a breaking news story, if it wasn't something to do with the government or Apple or something, I'd hit delete. And because press releases have their function, they're very good at breaking news stories, they're very good for celebrity-oriented stories, they're very good for B2B-oriented stories, they're horrible for establishing someone in a particular field. So what we do is we write short, concise pitches, but we tailor that pitch to the sector we're going through. If we're going to a women's-oriented media, that pitch is going to go a certain way. If we're going to men's-oriented media, if we're going to local media, if we're going to pop culture-oriented media, we have got to present that in a language where that editor, that producer, or those journalists realizes this works for my readers, my viewers, or my listeners. And a press release is just not designed to do that. And then after that, too, it's one of the things we're really big on is follow-up calls. Because if you just send stuff out and wait, chances are you're going to be waiting an awful long time. So you need to have that connection, you know, and that touch. And then right now, you need to make sure that the messages you're getting out are appropriate, because maybe the messages that you had going out before the pandemic were great for them, but maybe they would look somewhat off now. So, you know, if you have automated emails or social media that's going out, really look to see that the message is congruent with where we are now, because in such a short period of time.
This is Carol. I have a question for you. So the title of your last book, or first book, was Alchemy of Success.
Right.
To me, when I hear the word alchemy, I think you take something and you turn it into something different, and particularly in my mind, I go to something of more value. Is that a message in your book? Is there a piece of advice you can have for people who can take the current situation as something and alchemize it into success?
Yeah, and that's exactly what the title was. And, where I was looking at that, then, again, because our focus is PR and social media, but back then it was really PR, is turning what you may see as a bland, ordinary story, and through the way you tell that story, through the way you present that story, have that picked up by the media, and it does transform it.
What's a nugget, like a piece of advice, like a tangible takeaway you can offer to somebody of what questions to ask or how they can do that?
Yeah, and look and see of how the story, how what you do impacts others. For example, we'll use the book as an example. Because if I went and I pitched that book as, here's a new book on PR, well, I don't think many people would have resonated with that. I don't think we would have gotten a lot of media. But what we did, we looked and saw what is happening in the media right now, particularly looking for some media train wrecks. You know, what celebrities were having issues, what companies were having issues, and then presenting the book and presenting me as how can this person turn around their media issues? So, you know, someone else may have just looked at that and said, okay, we're going to pitch this as a Bible on PR. And that might have gotten you somewhere. But by viewing it as to how this book impacted others and reframing the story, you know, that really opened it up. So we were able to get the CNNs and MSNBCs and New York Times, which I don't think we would have gotten if we hadn't looked at the book and saw what are our stories. And stories underline that 20 times. Because effective PR is effective storytelling. When we're going out, we're not looking to sell. We're not looking to use superlatives, the best, the greatest. We're looking to give a strong story that works for a particular media's listeners or viewers. And sometimes there's something in the news that is going on that you can lock on to. We had a physician who wrote a book on wellness who came on board a couple of months ago, and you know, we had no idea that what was coming, but the pandemic there actually gave him a bigger platform of what he could talk about. So a lot of times you look, is there something happening in the news? The term that they use for it is newsjacking, which is funny because it sounds illegal. But how can you use something that's already in the news and tie your story onto that? Because that makes it a much easier pitch. You can't always do that, and if so, that's fine. You still have a story. But what people have to realize is everybody has the story, but you have to step away from what you know about it and look at it differently. For people who don't hire a PR firm or whatever, I always ask them to use the same process we do, which is have a brainstorming session. Bring other people in who aren't involved with your company or with your product or with your service, and brainstorm what are the particular stories you could go out with. And let them be crazy. You don't have to go with them, but you might miss some real nuggets if you don't step outside and look at your business differently.
Anthony, we have to wrap up here real quick, but I have a personal question to ask you really quick, because you just touched on something that I was curious about. So in doing this, when you're trying to sell your wares, your services, your goods, yourself, and you reach out, especially now on social media during this pandemic, people are doing that because it's cheap and it's easy, right? You can do it yourself. You can be your own PR person while you're locked down trying to get people to notice you. And I'm a lawyer by day, but I spend a lot of time on social media either being silly, being a jerk, ranting and raving, or just telling a little bit about myself. And I have to say, I noticed, like, recently I've been posting videos that have nothing to do with the law, but they have maybe something to do with what's going on, or they maybe make me look silly or what have you. And I have gotten more people wanting to connect and communicate with me because of that than I ever have with saying, hey, let me help you with your divorce, you know. And I sat back and I said to myself, why is that? I don't have the answer to why that is, but I definitely noticed that. Am I imagining it, or could I be onto something?
No, I think you're on point. And there are upsides and there is dangers to that. Because sure. One is you're becoming more human and people are connecting with it. And that's the upside. The downside is when it comes to straight business ROI, you have to look and see, are those people who are connecting with it, if this indeed is part of your marketing business efforts, are they appropriate? You know, because I had some You're client right. who was constantly posting the craziest things because he was getting these amazing responses, but they were totally inappropriate to his business objectives. So where that can be very useful, it can also be seductive and can lead you down a rabbit hole. So, you know, I always suggest people utilize that and then bring it back to their message.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, we could go on for days, and I think a lot of people are sitting home, whether they're blogging or whether they're just trying to market themselves and using this time to do so, and you know, this is useful information, and they can learn more about what you do and the Alchemy of Success. I know the book is available on Amazon, and your other book, Been to Win. And Anthony, what's the easiest way for people to connect with you, maybe on social media or your website, if they wanted to learn more?
Go to prforwriters.com, and everything is there.
Yeah. Excellent. Anthony Morris, thank you very much for your helpful tips. We hope you're staying well during this crazy time, and we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and everyone stay safe out there.
Yes, thank you very much, Anthony. You and you've been listening to Happy Hour here. We've still got more to come. Segment number 3 is on the way. So, hey, just stay where you are.
This is 92.9 WBPM. Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And we're back one more time here this morning on Happy Hour, segment number 3 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frank and Barry.
That was almost like an echo. Very nice.
Gosh, we're never going to get it right. We're never going to get it right on purpose.
All right. Wait, you guys, I have an idea. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have an idea. You have so many of our previous shows recorded, right? Can you just pull that piece out of us saying that in unison, and then we shut our traps each time and you plug that little
thing
in?
Now, I could do that, but the problem is I don't want to take away the joy that you guys have every single week in saying it. You know, there's an energy to it that keeps you going through segment number 3, and I don't want to deprive you.
All right, fine. It would bring me more joy if Jonna would say it a little faster.
Yeah. See, damn you,
and
girlfriend.
And I'm holding back waiting for you. I know. Nope, this is what we'll do next time, Carol. Next week, when Frank and Barry says, hello, ladies, then in our heads we go, 1, 2, 3. And after 3, we say, hello, Frank and Barry.
And you know what, actually? And it always makes me think of this when people do the 1, 2, 3 thing, is that even though you'll decide to do that, one of you is going to go on 3 and one of you is going to go on what is an imagined 4. And I remember one time when I was a kid, my father and I, and this is what you did back in the day. We had a rock wall in the backyard, at the end of the backyard. And my father, instead of taking stuff to the dump every now and then, would just throw things over the wall in the backyard, and then they would magically disappear in his mind. So we're taking this this huge, huge, monstrous air conditioner that died out of the kitchen, and we're going to throw it over the back wall and have it disappear. So my, so my father says, "All right, Stephen, on three," and we go one, two, and I go to throw it on three. Dad does the imaginary four and throws it right across my chest. And it was one of those kind of slow motion things, and I was wearing a white T-shirt where it took a couple of seconds, but then you could you could see this blood starting to slowly soak through the T-shirt.
No.
And it was the very first time I ever dropped an F-bomb in front of my father. So I do that. I'm scared to death now, and I'm bleeding. And I, you know, I almost got a broken foot because it almost fell on me. And I looked up at my father. My father looks at me. He's got a little bit of a stare. And then he started laughing his ass off. He thought that was the funniest thing ever. And, yeah, so that's what I remember.
That's a good story.
That's what I think of whenever I say on three.
Oh, that is a good story.
So thanks again, by the way, for to our author, Anthony Mora.
Oh, yeah, Anthony Mora. I just think it's really incredible how sometimes, you know, he wrote the book, like we talked about, over 20 years ago. And, and now here it is, gaining renewed relevance for something none of us ever could have anticipated. So I just think that's crazy. But he had a lot of good information, and he's had a lot of smart people on the show.
That we do.
So we'll end with one not smart thing. Can I just share one completely unrelated story before we go today? Because I found this fascinating.
Of course.
I always welcome your story.
But it's an animal story, and we like animal stories. But this was something interesting to me. So the other day, there's a post in my backyard, and I was looking at it seriously just the other day, and I'm like, why do I have this post in my backyard? It's not serving any purpose. It's old. It's leaning. Like, I don't even know why. And that thought went through my head, and within 24 hours, and I know this is nothing, but within 24 hours, there was a giant, giant bird perched atop this post. And I was like, in all the years I've lived at my house, I have never seen a bird sitting on top of the post that 24 hours earlier, in my mind, said I should get rid of it. Anyway, so that's not the story. The story is I get my binoculars out, and I look at this bird. I thought it was an owl, but I'm pretty sure it was probably more like a hawk. But a big, big bird. Big. It's just sitting there. Doing nothing, looking stupid, minding its own business. Well, all of a sudden, I started seeing Mother Nature in action, because a bunch of little birds, bite-sized, snack-sized lunch for this big bird. they start squawking, and not just squawking like, get out of here. They start flying around this bird. Frankenberry, Carol, they were diving at it. The big bird was like, you know, like if somebody scares you, you go, whoa, and you back up real quick, or you duck real quick.
Yeah.
They had this big bird ducking and weaving and looking up, and they're going around in circles, and they're dive bombing them, and they're squawking at him, and then they fly away, and then they come back, and they do it again. Guys, this went on for hours. Hours.
Wow, really?
And this big, dumb bird just sat there and let them do it. He didn't fly away. He didn't try to eat them. He just bobbed and weaved.
Well, maybe it was a pterodactyl and he.
And he. Right? And I just thought, and it was the first time I had seen anything like it. And I said, I'm going to look it up because I haven't looked it up yet. Like, I want to know, so the birds, who this other bird could have eaten, just must have said, why did they want him out of there? Like, he wasn't doing anything.
I'm guessing it probably was a hawk. And I see this a lot around my house, is the little birds will go after and attack the big birds like that, because that big bird was probably
had its nose in their nest going after their babies or the eggs.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm imagining he probably wasn't moving off the post because the big bird was probably going, all right, guys, you tired yet? Because you've got my dinner.
Oh, interesting. So now, okay, I wish I had had that knowledge before I witnessed this event, because I would have, you know, I would have thrown an apple or something at that big bird.
But you know what I find most fascinating about it is, though, is and this kind of thing happened to me at the house once, is the fact that you never really thought about that post ever. And the day you do think about the post, you've got a bird and you've got all this action happening there within 24 hours. There was this box that I had on the floor for for one of the cats, Blink, the kitten who sadly passed away. And one day I said to myself, and the box had been sitting there empty for months after Blink. And I said to myself, you know what, Steve, you just clean up, get rid of that box. It's just a memory you don't need. And literally, before I could move that box, Bella, who never sat in the box once, I found her in the box. And I was like, okay, I guess it stays.
Wow.
You know, so now that post has to stay, Jonna.
Well, now the post definitely has to stay, but you're right. I thought it was weird. I thought the universe was giving me some sort of weird sign or something.
Well, the universe sent me a weird sign last weekend, and I'm not sure what brought it on. I've talked about on the show that Craig and I have a little place out in Pennsylvania. We go out on the weekends and we've been painting it and doing work out there. So we were out last weekend, beautiful weather, out doing projects in the yard, painting, come up on the deck. We're up there with our dog Ginger, and she starts, middle of the day, she's going bananas, and we're like, what? It's fine, stop. And I look, and there is a black bear right off our deck.
Really?
No.
Yep. But as soon as she started going crazy, and I'm trying to calm her down, like, well, shut up. What's the deal? I'm like, oh, man. And then as soon as she started barking, it ran off. But, I mean, we were just down right where it was, probably five minutes earlier. My cute little dog scared off the black bear.
There you go. Way to go, Ginger.
Yeah, zero.
Protecting the rent.
That's part of her job, and she was happy to do it.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, to me, I thought it was cool, because I've never seen a bear in the wild in person before. But also, and I think for the most part, like, unless you go after them or have food out or something, they really don't want to bother you. You know, they want to go do their own thing. But I definitely had my head on swivel the rest of the day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That is great.
So, well, I'm not sure what my message was there, but Mother Nature was talking to me, too.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope your message turns out to be a message for me, because I have been hoping to see a bear in my yard for eons, and I have yet to see a bear. I get
now
a lot
you just
of other
put it
animals,
out there.
No bear. Yep.
Now you just put it out there, so that's going to happen. And I've been seeing posts on Facebook, like in Beak and Hopewell Fishkill, people are spotting them.
Well, you know what,
cool.
Jonna, if need be, you can always move into one of the houses in the development behind where I live, because every now and then the horses will get out or a cow will get out and end up in somebody's backyard. I mean, I know it's not a bear, but it's close.
Can you imagine a cow?
Oh yeah, no, the cows have gotten out. We found one of the cows in a neighbor's backyard licking their grill. I hate to say it. You know, but the woman looked at us and said, you know, that's funny, but I've never seen dinner come to me.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I know.
But I'm bummed.
Yeah, exactly.
how would that call really go? Like, hello, police? Yeah, there's a cow in my yard.
Exactly.
Look at my grill. Well, shut your mouth then.
Apparently he likes the taste of the salmon we cooked last night.
Oh, man.
Well, it's been happy hour here. Another great show. Thank you all out there so much for listening and for joining us with our guest Anthony Mora and his book. What was the title of it again? Alchemy of
the Alchemy of the Success.
Okay, so that is one to think about, especially if you heard the interview and you enjoyed it. Now, but again, thank you for joining us, Jonna, Carol. You guys be good, be safe. Okay.
Yep, we'll see you next week.
All righty.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.